Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3. Mind Your Business with Howie Lim and Bernard Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
Now, 3 years ago, she made waves when she co-founded Smart Cow, an artificial intelligence company that came up with an electronic board that could run various AI software.
In 2017, she left Smart Cow and started Neural Bay, a company that focuses on detection and recognition software related to humans, objects, and text, and offers AI-driven solutions for multinational corporations.
Her clients include an aviation corporation, an automation industry company, and chocolate company for Ferrero. To tell us more about her journey through tech and AI is Annabelle Kwok, CEO of Neural Bay. So Annabelle, tell us the impetus going from project to project.
It really depends on what's available and also what's the demand. So right now, AI is kind of one of the hot topics right now. And everyone's really looking forward towards, you know, digitalizing and transforming their company. So, you know, projects to projects, it really depends on luck.
When did doing social good come into play? And is that your overarching driver right now?
Yeah, so I kind of see myself more as someone who trying to use the company to do social good, more as someone who's using the company to try to be as rich as possible. Mm-hmm. So our trajectory is kind of different from most startups. So, I mean, the whole concept of wanting to do social good through technology, I mean, it's not anything new, but what I saw an opportunity in AI is that you can actually reuse some of the software code and some of the data that you actually did from building through consultancy projects with other companies and recycle it to other projects. So I'll give you an example. So for example, you have a software that can actually detect body postures.
Okay.
You can use it in either the security setting to see why is that strange man squatting in a corner all by himself, go investigate.
Okay.
Or you could use it in the medical industry to see whether that person is doing his physiotherapy exercises correctly.
Mm-hmm.
But for each industry, there's a very different tolerance for risk, and yet you still customize it. But, you know, the underlying technology on how to actually recognize body posture, that neural network model, that's what we call it, remains the same. So that's why I see in AI, there's a lot of opportunity for you to actually recycle neural network models without actually infringing on data privacies and not necessarily touching on any IP patent laws or anything. Because, you know, you can actually develop something with a company that is very well-to-do financially and have that runway to try and make mistakes and put it into the businesses for small, medium enterprises.
How do you think sharing AI tech makes the world more inclusive, though? And why is it important for you to do that? I didn't think it was funny, though.
Yeah, I think it's quite obvious, right?
We need you to tell us, you being the expert, right?
Okay, so today we talk about financial disparity and we try to balance it out between the rich and the poor. But very soon we'll be seeing technical disparity where the big companies are growing big super fast. Nothing wrong with that, you know. The problem is that the small businesses are not catching up fast enough. So with this technical disparity, it'll give rise to a lot of social problems and financial problems. And, you know, what's worse, other than not being able to stay relevant, is that a lot of businesses, small businesses and individuals don't recognize that they are now in a digital era. Mm. So whatever works for them 5 years ago may not necessarily work for them in the next 5 years. So there's a lot of educational efforts that need to be there. And it's not really my place to tell them what they should do, you know. But when the day comes when they realize that, hey, they need to invest in technology and that they need to look into data, I want to be there for them. So in terms of technology that we build, we want it to be accessible, easy to use because they might not have a lot of coding background, and also affordable.
What has been your biggest challenge so far, Annabelle, and how did you overcome it?
Challenge? What kind of challenges are you?
I mean, so far, whatever that you're doing, what are some of the biggest challenges that you face and how did you overcome them?
I think one of the challenges is my age, you know, because I'm young. I'm 26. I started quite a few years back. And, you know, we're in Singapore, in an Asian society where they kind of associate age with wisdom and experience.
Sure.
So when you walk into a room, at first glance, they kind of see it's like, this is not somebody that, you know, I want to have a meeting with. And it's very hard to hold a conversation with someone who's, you know, mentally turned off already.
Right.
So it takes a lot of patience to kind of tell them, you know, I can help you stay relevant. Hear me out. And, you know, I think that's one of the challenges that I faced very early on.
Tell us, why do you think there is a resistance to AI adoption?
It really depends on the individual's perspective, or whether you're talking from a corporate or governmental perspective.
Okay.
But from the individual's perspective, you know, when you don't really understand something, there are two ways that it could go. You could either fear it and think like, you know, the robot overlords are coming, or you can worship it, thinking that, you know, AI and technology can solve every single problem. And also, you know, for corporations, when they want to digitalize their company, if it's a big corporation, it's kind of hard to get things moving, as you know, when there's a lot of red tape and existing legacy systems.
Right.
So what I mean by legacy systems is that, you know, what we have already works, so don't touch it, because every time you touch it, we are actually risking $1 million on the line. And also for governments, you know, it really depends, because on what are their priorities. Because a lot of the times when you talk about digitalization of creating a smart nation, it happens on the back end, on the logistic side of things, and not necessarily what is consumer facing. So it really depends on you know, what's their perspective, and you know, we're still trying to figure it out.
Okay, well, tell us, how are you making AI affordable and accessible to especially particularly smaller businesses?
Right, so we operate kind of like a Robin Hood model. We take from the rich and we give to the poor. But when I say I take from the rich, I don't literally mean like I steal from them. We do so very, very responsibly. So the things that we take is more of their data, because they have the resources to collect large amounts of data, which smaller businesses don't. And of course, you know, they have the financial firepower to actually fund the R&D and the innovation. So at the beginning of our projects, we ask them, are you okay if we recycle some of these codes for the smaller businesses? And if they say yes, we are agreeable to some of the terms, for example, signing an agreement that says you won't work with your number two or number three competitor, or we might not necessarily work with other players in this particular industry who you deem as competitors. And by doing so, you know, you kind of, the SMEs get to enjoy the same thing, but probably not as customized as what we divide for the consultancy clients, at a much cheaper price. And that's really our goal too, in terms of how we want to make it affordable and accessible.
Okay, well, Annabelle, we know that you spoke at the SG Minds Forum 2019. For the benefit of our listeners, you want to tell us, what did you speak about at the SG Minds Forum?
Well, I think in a nutshell, I talked about the joys of giving, and that, you know, you can learn from anyone and anywhere, and learning is not topic specific. So I talked a little bit about my experience representing Singapore to help with the 2004 relief efforts for the Indian tsunami that struck Phuket. And one of the things that I saw there was the strength of the human spirit, because no matter how many blankets that you give to someone whose human spirit is already broken, it's not going to help them. So simple things like spreading happiness is a way of giving back. So you don't necessarily always have to give back in terms of time and money, but in terms of knowledge and skills, like you can use your knowledge and skills to build things for people. That's what I'm doing in Neurobay right now, or just simply spreading a bit of happiness and positivity.
Okay, well, you're obviously a very successful young entrepreneur, as you mentioned yourself. So there are many entrepreneurs who are obviously listening to Money FM right now, listening to this chat. What advice do you have for other entrepreneurs, especially young entrepreneurs?
Just do whatever you're interested in. But of course, knowing the lines between, you know, what is realistically possible and what is, you know, hypothetical dreaming.
Okay, hypothetical dreaming. Okay, before I let you go, how are you keeping up with the change and disruption which is happening right now at a breakneck pace?
You know, you just do, and you have no choice but to just do. No, but you're always constantly learning, or at least I am constantly learning and trying to improve yourself, and not necessarily the best thing out there and the latest thing out there, but what works for you. Because if you find something that works for you and something that you're comfortable with, then you'll excel and become good at it much faster, instead of having to chase the high every day.
Okay, we're talking to Annabelle Kwok, CEO of Neurobay. Thank you very much for coming to the studio today.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app, available on Google Play or the App Store.